May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The most revealing thing about the Chapel Roan discourse is how fast people sprint to decide what kind of woman she is. It has nothing to do with what she's actually done anymore. For some, she's a boundary-setting folk hero, the only pop star brave enough to look straight down the barrel of the camera and say, "I feel unsafe," without softening it into a bit or apologizing for it. For others, she is a cautionary tale, a thin-skinned upstart who wanted the spotlight and is now throwing tantrums because she can't take the heat. I don't think that either of those narratives is particularly useful. The truth is, of course, and as always, harder to declare so neatly. It's pretty obvious that after her meteoric rise in 2024, Chapel Roan isn't handling fame very well. She escalates when she should probably disengage. She picks battles that are emotionally satisfying in the moment, maybe, but strategically terrible for the long-term health of her career. She is building a public reputation in real time, and some of the choices that she's making are making her life harder. That's true, but it's also true that the response to her doing that has been completely out of proportion to what she's actually done. The language around her, rude, difficult, ungrateful, not built for this, doesn't know how to behave. This is the kind of language that tends to appear when a woman in public stops performing pleasantries on command. I'm not especially interested in using this video to decide whether Chapel Roan is a good person or even whether she's doing a good job at being famous. What I'm interested in is why everyone else has decided that this is a moral issue. What does that say about where we are culturally and why are we here? I don't give a you-know-what about the particulars, whether she should have ignored the paparazzi in Paris or she could stand to be more polished, more media-trained, more careful. Probably yes, but plenty of celebrities are messy and reactive, arrogant, volatile, even violent. And somehow, we understand those things as personality quirks or someone having a bad night or a growing pain, the tortured genius, mostly this applies to men, anything but proof of their personal moral failings. When Chapel does even a smidge of these behaviors, it goes straight from "that was a bad decision" to "you are a bad person." And I think we need to probe that. So instead of arguing about whether she deserves the hate or the hype, let's do some sentiment analysis and lay out what actually happened. We'll look at how the story around her got built and interrogate why this particular flavor of backlash always seems to turn a woman's bad judgment into evidence that she is at her core wrong. Welcome to my channel, or welcome back to my channel. My name is Zach. I'm the Swiftologist. I make thoughtful weekly videos. Today's video is about Chapel Roan. And if you have always wanted to listen to my videos as a podcast, I have great news for you. You can stream the Swiftologist podcast wherever you like. I will leave it linked down below. And also, don't forget to go to evolutionofsnake.com to get tickets to see me live. I'm going on tour again this summer. Who knows when I'm going to tour the States again? This could be the last time for a long time. You better go and get tickets. Meet and greets are sold out in a bunch of cities. And I can't wait to get on the road and see you all. Evolutionofsnake.com. Go get your tickets. Over the last year and a half, you can roughly divide Chapel's story into three beats: her rise, her boundaries, and the flashpoints. Let's start with the rise. Chapel Roan has been working for years, but 2024 is the year that it stopped being niche. She has multiple chart-dominating hits, Good Luck Babe, Hot to Go, and Pink Pony Club, that soar throughout the year. It's amazing how quickly her attention scaled up. She was truly in the right place at the right time with the right music, the definition of an overnight success. And she seemed very hungry at this point in her career, like she would do anything to achieve her dreams. After her slew of hits and an iconic Coachella performance, she's suddenly a fixture at award shows and premieres with press coverage about her VMA's debut, her Grammy's performance and win, and 2024 being the year of a sapphic pop moment. Everyone loves the come-up story, but as a wise woman once said, they want to see you rise, they don't want you to reign. The second beat of Chapel's story in the public eye is where she starts talking very explicitly about what the spotlight that she craved for so long feels like from the inside. In August 2024, she made multiple statements on her own social media and in interviews that are essentially her drawing a line in the sand. She thanks people for the love and says that after 10 years going nonstop to build my project, it's come to the point that I need to draw lines and set boundaries. I want to be an artist for a very, very long time. Then she gets specific. She asks fans to stop non-consensual physical and social interactions, to stop touching her and following her and being weird to her family and friends. And she bluntly says, "I feel more love than I ever have in my life. I also feel the most unsafe I have ever felt in my life. I am scared and tired." She describes predatory behavior disguised as superfan behavior that has become normalized because of the way women who are well-known have been treated in the past. And she insists, women don't owe you sh-. I do not accept harassment of any kind because I chose this path, nor do I deserve it. She also points out that people have tracked down her parents and her sister and says that she is at that point she previously warned her fans about. If she feels stalked and like her family is at risk, she will walk away. She's clearly saying, these parts of fame are not acceptable to me, while preemptively naming the inevitable ongoing backlash as part of a larger pattern of how women in the public eye are treated when they say that. So she spilled, obviously. Okay, now let's talk about the flashpoints. These are the pieces of evidence that people use to manipulate or tell whatever story they want to tell about women via the role of Chapel Roan. These are the flashpoints that happened after her very infamous TikTok. One is the 2024 VMAs red carpet. In an infamous, widely iconic and circulated clip, Chapel is posing when someone on the carpet is heard saying, shut the f*** up. She spins around and snaps back. Another is the Paris Fashion Week incident in early March. After leaving an Alexander McQueen show, she is followed down the street by paparazzi and autograph hunters. She later says she asked them several times to leave her alone and they didn't, so she pulls out her phone and films them, and a clip of her doing this goes viral. In the clip, she turns the camera on the group and says things like, these are all the people that are completely disregarding all my boundaries. I'm just trying to go to dinner and I've asked these people several times to get away from me. She tells them directly, I'm asking you kindly to please leave me alone and stop following me and harassing me. This video definitely sparked a heated debate about what celebrities are supposed to tolerate in public, as most things that Chapel does do. But the most recent flashpoint, I think, is this Brazil affair, also in March of 2026. Unfortunately, just a few weeks after that Paris video, timing, we're going to talk about that later, ahead of a Lollapalooza show, an 11-year-old girl at a hotel, reported in some outlets as Jude Law's daughter and by others as the stepdaughter of a Brazilian footballer. She is allegedly spoken to harshly or blocked by Chapel security whenever she tries to approach. Chapel later says that she never saw the child and only learned of the incident after the fact. Local coverage quotes her as denying the claims that she personally yelled at or snubbed the girl. She said this herself in her Instagram story. But nevertheless, the mayor of Rio publicly announces on Twitter that she is banned from performing in the city's big arena, calling her behavior unacceptable and saying that as long as I am leading our city, this young lady will not perform. He contrasts her unfavorably with global stars like Shakira, saying he doubts that she would act this way. Sir, aren't you a mayor? Don't you have other things to do? Even the mayor of Brazil cannot resist the Chapel Roan discourse. In 2026, the reputation narrative for Chapel in the broader public has evolved from this plucky upstart is setting her boundaries and sticking it to the man, good for her, to something else, which I'll get to momentarily, bolstered by the evidence of her telling photographers to shut up on red carpets, calling out the paparazzi, and now being banned from Rio for crying over Kid in the Lobby. Alongside all of this, I think it really is worth noting how other artists have responded to her, because this is definitely part of the story as well. After her infamous video about creepy fan behavior, Chapel said that several A-list artists blew up her DMs with support. Charlie reached out, Billy, Lady Gaga, Lorde, many of them offered solidarity and practical tips about moving around more discreetly. Hayley Williams reposted Chapel and said, this happens to every woman I know from this business, myself included. I'm really thankful Chapel is willing to address it in a real way, in real time. It's brave and unfortunately necessary. And recently at the 2026 Grammys, Sabrina Carpenter walks the red carpet and notices how unusually quiet and polite the photographers are.
You guys are so quiet this year.
We are here. Sabrina.
It's funny and light and she's kidding, but it also underlines a very important reality. Inside the industry, there is an awareness that Chapel's willingness to push back on these norms has already changed the temperature of the room a little for the better of the working conditions of the women in the industry. That's a positive thing. So here's exactly what happened. Facts-wise, no editorializing. Fast public rise, explicit, unusually blunt attempt to draw lines around stalking, touching, and parasocial entitlement, in her words, a series of confrontations with photographers and security incidents that have become shorthand for she's rude or she hates her fans, and a chorus of women in the industry agreeing that this is what it's like for everyone and she is brave and not wrong to talk about it. Everything else, the Stan Wars, the think pieces, the Reddit threads, the she's ungrateful, she's a martyr, even this YouTube video, this is all people projecting onto that set of facts. I am very taken aback by how many differing meanings, if you will, have been mined from such little content. For some people, this is all very simple. Chapel wanted to be famous, now she's famous, and she doesn't like her new reality. To those people, watching her accost the photographers and autograph hounds who trailed her around Paris, notably, those were not her fans, though that detail was conveniently smoothed over in the Chapel is ungrateful attitude. This is the epitome of ingratitude. When she's whining in interviews about being scared, she's not really afraid. She loves the attention. And she got what she deserved in Brazil. You evil woman, you made a little girl cry. So an entire city decided that it doesn't want you. Your actions have consequences. The end. Basically, You asked for it. That tone lives in comments like, she's not cut out for this, she's too sensitive, she's biting the hand that feeds her, she's playing with fire, by criticizing the thing that made her. This is the do your job and it comes with the territory voice, which I think is a casual and quite cruel insistence that every awful part of her story is the small print she didn't read on a contract she willingly signed. Though that's a pretty bad interpretation, there's an even more rabid version of that response. She's beyond ungrateful, she's insubordinate or undeserving of the success she has, and it should be taken away from her to teach her a lesson and make an example out of her. This sentiment takes every Chapel flashpoint and rejection of the way things are as evidence of her deep character flaws. Even though we know she had no clue there was a little girl crying, a grown man did that, and it wasn't even her who gave him the order to do it, she makes children sob and doesn't care that she's done it. In Paris with the autograph hounds, she's humiliating working class men who are just doing their jobs. You see how she can't win? And this is a boring old cultural narrative. Chapel Roan is a diva. Chapel Roan is a brat. Chapel Roan is not nice. She's ungrateful. Interesting how often that word comes up and how often do we apply it to men? It is jarring how quickly the language devolves from practical observations. Maybe if she doesn't want to be photographed, Chapel shouldn't go to Fashion Week, into moral judgments. Because you went to Fashion Week, you deserve to be harassed and followed. There is absolutely no benefit of the doubt ever being given to Chapel that I've seen on the internet as of late. She was handed a golden ticket and should know exactly what comes next, and she should greet it with a smile while telling all of us that she is so happy to be here. There are lots of she doesn't know how to behave or she's not built like this comments instead of like maybe some understanding that she's inexperienced and just hasn't gotten used to the spotlight yet, or literally any other more charitable interpretation. The terms that we use to talk about Chapel's behavior are corrective terms. Each one carries an obligation, something she ought to do. Be sweeter, be quieter, and more accommodating. Chapel, you ought to remember that you asked for this. You sipped this poisoned chalice. On the flip side of that, there's an extreme overreaction, which you get from her fans all the time. I got this when I said I didn't like the subway, which is completely unrelated to any of these things, but their mentality lives here. They are the most sensitive fan base in the world because they're constantly on the offense. This is the Chapel as Saint reading. In this world, every impulsive decision she makes is rebranded as bravery, and each and every one of her rants, even if they are badly timed and poorly expressed, are essential activism just because she said it. To this crowd, Chapel is the only person standing between normal society and a full parasocial mind control collapse. Which is ironic because this compulsive defense of her is also parasocial behavior, just in a different font. Chapel's fans are also Streisand affecting her actions and drawing negative attention to her by insisting she is always right and should always express herself in whatever way she wants, even if she says something flippant or accidentally callous that creates issues for herself that didn't need to exist. For example, the way she spoke about children on Call Her Daddy. Every single thing Chapel says doesn't have to be a political revolution. Sometimes she can just, you know, say silly offhanded remarks or put her foot in her mouth and we should all be able to just move on. The people who jump to defend every little thing she says make mountains out of molehills and create more trouble for her by giving the discourse machine stronger material to argue with. And you know what else? This might be an unpopular opinion, but the hero's narrative here really irons out the wrinkles that make her the most interesting pop star operating on her level right now. Chapel, delightfully, in my opinion, isn't a flawless vessel delivering a message from the gods of feminist media critique. She is a slightly chaotic, very online 20-something who is trying to figure out in public where the line is between this is my job and this is unacceptable. Sometimes she locates that line clearly and other times she overshoots it. Often, she sets herself on fire to make a point that could have been made in a way that did not require self-immolation. But as always, with our cultural narratives, binaries aren't helpful to Chapel or the discourse at large. If you pretend every choice she makes is brilliant boundary setting, you kind of invalidate her rightful learning curve and place an unnecessary pressure on her to just take it well all the time. But if you pretend every expression of her discomfort is proof that she doesn't deserve her career, you're really missing the way that that curve is shaped very obviously by the fact that she's a woman. The common thread in all of these reactions, even the sympathetic ones, is we are treating Chapel's discomfort as something that has to be justified to the public, which is deranged. Feeling unsafe is a fact of her life, not an argument that she has to win. Though I do think her fans definitely baby her in a way that's unhelpful, I feel sorry for Chapel because the resounding sentiment doesn't give her much grace. She is always being punished. She's not allowed to be clumsy or inexperienced. She's automatically wrong, stupid, ungrateful, or a bitch for not taking it better. This is a very tired, familiar script humming beneath all of the Chapel discourse. It's a script that has been dusted off for other women in other genres, in other decades, every single time they stopped being decorous enough to make others feel comfortable when they are in distress. Chapel is not the first woman to get caught in this, and she won't be the last. Let's zoom out from internet commentary for like 5 seconds and return to a text like Susan Faludi's backlash, the undeclared war against American women. She observes this rhetoric is depressingly consistent. Faludi's whole argument, writing about the 1980s, but really about the late 20th century as a whole, is that every single time women make some visible gains in work, culture, or politics, there is a counter movement automatically that springs up to insist those gains have gone too far. It's not usually an official propaganda tool or an organized movement with a logo, but it is a cultural sentiment that seeps through our media channels and infects the way that we think and speak. The message is always some version of women's advancement in whatever arena is making everyone miserable, and the only way to fix things is for women to shrink themselves again. It's not lost on me that all of this started in 2024, the year of the pop girl. Historically, we do see a shifting of blame from the system to the individual. The "can she have it all" dilemma that emerged when more women went to college and joined the workforce in the 80s, this relentless focus on the fact that something must give, shows up as an obsession with a woman's personal choices instead of the conditions that she is reacting to. If she's exhausted or overworked or unhappy, the story that we tell is that she wanted too much, tried to juggle too many things, flew too close to the sun, and now her burnout is a parable instead of a structural problem that needs fixing. Faludi is very clear that this kind of backlash thrives in periods of uncertainty. And look at what's going on right now. When the political climate is tense or the economy feels brittle and there's a sense that the old order is under threat, it becomes very tempting to get a sacrificial lamb and throw it under the bus. Usually that ends up being a woman. This woman, whoever we pick today, is too loud, too visible, too demanding, and very ungrateful. The punishment is rarely framed as "we hate women." It's portrayed as common sense or the restoration of balance. Don't you see that in all of the discourse around Chapel Roan? People talking about what she should do, how she violates certain norms that shouldn't be violated or questioned simply because she is the one questioning them. If you really zoom out, we are getting all of our knickers in a twist about a 20-something-year-old pop star saying, "I'm scared and I don't like it when people follow me." The hand-wringing about the spontaneous concern for etiquette and professionalism is very transparently here an attempt to shrink a woman. Let me give you a recent occurrence of this happening to another young, outspoken female songwriter, Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks, who are now just the Chicks. In 2003, Natalie Maines stood on a stage in London 10 days before the United States invaded Iraq and said she was ashamed the president was from Texas. That's it. It seems so unremarkable now, given how quickly people can share their thoughts like this on social media, but this was before artists really had direct communication channels with their fans or the public. Within weeks, country radio programmers are blacklisting the band, right-wing groups are organizing CD-burning parties and steamrolling their albums in parking lots, and the Chicks are convicted of cultural treason because of one offhanded political comment in the middle of a tour. What's important for our purposes today is not whether you agreed with that comment or the comments that Chapel's making at all. It's what the backlash latches onto. The fury for the Chicks really didn't circle around the disagreement that was had with their politics. It was about the gall that they had, the nerve to weigh in at all. The Chicks were already outspoken, mouthy industry disruptors, like Chapel, very far from the role of polite, conservative country girls or perfect pop stars that they had been cast as. Like Chapel, they were also, importantly, not artists who were invested in catering to the male gaze. The Iraq comment gave people a reason, a socially acceptable excuse, to say out loud what they've been feeling anyway. These women are out of line and need to be shoved back into their place. Shut up and sing. If you go back and read coverage from that moment, the conversation immediately devolves from what was actually said, and they were right, and instead focuses on how it was said, the arrogance and the disrespect of it all. DJs talked openly on air on the radio about teaching them a lesson implying violence. Politicians questioned their patriotism. This punishment is so disproportionate to the act, but it feels righteous to the people who are dishing it out because it's framed as a moral issue. The Chicks weren't just expressing their First Amendment rights, they were betraying their country at a time like this. Does that ring a bell? I'm not suggesting that Chapel Roan is in the same situation or that getting banned from a Rio festival is the same as being blacklisted across every American radio station. Thankfully, Chapel has her own social media channels where she can get her own version of the story out there and can try at least to correct media narratives before they take shape. The stakes are different, but the emotional logic rhymes. In both cases, you have a woman or a group of women doing something that on paper is fairly small, a sentence on a stage, a video complaining about being followed, but the reaction for both of them quickly stops being about the act and becomes about their character and their right to be where they are at all, or even to use their voice. Culturally, it's no surprise to anyone that we've spent the last few years marinating in a very public and ugly backlash against women in the public eye. Think of the outrage cycles around people like Hillary Clinton, AOC, Greta Thunberg, Meghan Markle, Taylor Swift, Blake Lively. Wildly different women with wildly different projects, all valid critiques for all of them, but all of them have been turned into symbols onto which people can project their anxieties about power and what women can or can't or should or shouldn't do. Chapel's current plight is just another iteration of this story that we love to tell. The worst thing a woman can be, especially when things are already tense for everyone else, is difficult. The funny thing is that the word difficult here is doing double duty. It's a moral word, but people are also using it to describe something more mundane and actually kind of true. Chappell's not very good yet at the practical parts of being famous. Those are two different conversations, so let's have them. Fame in this context is a job with two layers. So there's the part that Chappell really loves and is clearly very good at, writing songs, building a visual world, getting on stage, blowing the roof off of a festival. And then there's the second job that comes stapled to the first. It's literally inseparable from it, managing permanent recognizability without losing your mind. That's the being famous part that people are talking about when they say that Chappell is not built for this. Every job in the world has a version of this condition. There are the tasks that you signed up for because you love them, and then there are the tasks that you endure because they're part of the job description of doing what you love. Teachers do not become teachers because they want to mark up papers and go to parents' evenings, and chefs don't make food to wash dishes. I don't make videos because I love editing. You don't have to like those parts, but at a certain point, you do have to account for them if you want the job to be survivable. Chappell's fans, I think, sometimes skip over that reality in their rush to insist that any expectation of her on this level is abusive or coercive. The second part of the fame job, I think she's still learning the ropes clumsily. The Paris Fashion Week clip is a perfect example of that. On a human level, her reaction makes complete sense. She's being followed. She's asked these guys to back off. They've been following her around all day. They haven't listened. She's scared. She's angry. But from a pure job skills perspective, turning around, filming them, giving them a reaction that they can film is the opposite of a de-escalation. And it turns what would have been a miserable 10-second walk into a restaurant with a bunch of people around her into this lasting piece of discourse that she now has to carry around and is used as another flashpoint against her. I think this is where you feel the gap between Chappell and the women who survived this level of attention and scrutiny for years. Beyonce and Taylor Swift have built whole infrastructures around disappearing when they want to. Private travel, decoy cars, fortified homes, moving through cities almost entirely through side doors and service corridors. Even someone as young as Olivia Rodrigo, who is comparably not as powerful as those two people or been around as long, quietly relocated to London when she was making this new record, in part because she was tired of being recognized every time she left the house in LA. All of these people have had to accept at some point that being left alone now means living in a way that you might have considered something similar to house arrest before you became really famous. By comparison, I will say also, Chappell is barely paparazzied in New York or LA. I've heard from boots on the ground, she is by and large left alone when she is in Brooklyn. She is not also, by historical standards, being hunted the way someone like Britney Spears was in the 2000s, when tabloid culture was at its absolute ugliest and you could not get a coffee without 20 lenses and flashbulbs in your face. The ecosystem around pop stars has objectively gotten less rabid since then. That doesn't make what she's experiencing easy, but I think it does, on the spectrum of celebrity harassment, show that she is closer to the being left alone more than most end than the worst case scenarios we've already seen. I think the problem for Chappell, and this is just my opinion, is not a value judgment on her or how she's handling it. She's trying to live like a normal 20-something with very abnormal visibility. She insists on walking around cities with her big red curls out, taking public transport, going to Fashion Week, but also she wants to refuse to swallow the parts of that experience that feel bad for her. Tactically, this is a nightmare combination. She's not wrong for wanting a life and a shred of normalcy. She's not a bad person for going to Paris or for showing up to events excitedly, but for her specifically, at this moment in her career, these choices make her own life harder in ways that are at least partially predictable, like that Paris example that I just mentioned. The Brazil shenanigans display the other side of this, however. To a certain extent, she just can't win. Here, she's barely in the story at all. She didn't see any of this happen. A security guard that she doesn't even know allegedly makes an 11-year-old she didn't even see cry. The mayor bans her to get brownie points from who knows who. And yet, even though there are so many holes in this story, it still sticks to her as another data point in the Chappell Roan is awful narrative. And I think the scale of the reaction keeps surprising me. If we're going to talk about being bad at being famous as some sort of moral failing, we should really look at how forgiving we are when men are bad at being famous in ways that actually hurt people beyond snapping at a photographer or saying no to a photo. Chris Brown is the most obvious example, and he will never know peace from me. In 2009, he pleaded guilty to felony assault after beating Rihanna so badly she was hospitalized with visible facial injuries. He was sentenced to 5 years probation, community labor, and mandatory domestic violence counseling. This is a violent crime against another person, a famous person no less, and this was not a one-off occurrence. Since then, he's been arrested multiple times, accused of further assaults, and has an entire press ecosystem dedicated to tracking his controversies and legal issues. And yet, for years, the industry has invited him back. He has never inspired the rounds of discourse that Chappell Roan has on TikTok. He's on television. There's no shortage of funding for his musical project. He tours successfully. He was nominated for a Grammy this year. Media coverage tends to have this weary, shrugging tone, referring to him as a troubled but talented man or a controversial figure with a loyal fan base, as if the question is, how do we square his genius with his mistakes? Not, should someone with that track record be platformed at all? Where is the discourse about whether he deserves to be famous or not? It's not being had to the same degree as Chappell Roan, that's for damn sure. Morgan Wallen, another flavor of the same indulgence. In 2021, a neighbor filmed him coming home drunk and shouting the N-word at a friend. TMZ ran the video, radio and streaming services pulled his music, his label suspended him, country radio made a great show of holding him accountable for 5 seconds. Within a year, his album was back at number one, and he was winning Entertainer of the Year at the CMA Awards. Even after being arrested again for throwing a chair off the roof of a six-story Nashville bar, narrowly missing two people down below. So racist slurs on tape, a fresh arrest, documented reckless endangerment, followed by his genre's biggest prize. Where is the comeuppance for that? Then you have someone like Justin Bieber, who sits in this kind of murkier middle ground of less directly harmful than a felony assault, but still wildly disrespectful. Over the years, he has been filmed pissing in buckets, spitting off of hotel balconies while fans screamed at him below, storming off stage mid-concerts when the crowd wouldn't behave the way he wanted to, and allegedly punching a fan in the face in Barcelona after the fan reached into his car window. In each of these cases, there was outrage, sure. There were some think pieces, there were some angry tweets, but the broader narrative around Justin Bieber is, well, he was overwhelmed. He was burnt out. He grew up too fast. We feel bad for him. His bad behavior slotted neatly into the coming of age arc that led eventually to his redemption and a nice quiet marriage. He also allegedly recently was getting into a physical altercation with Usher at an Oscars after party. Is that a decorous way to behave in public in the industry? Is that grateful behavior? Unlike Chappell, these aren't people who simply express their discomfort inelegantly. They have either hurt people or endangered people or treated their own fans with open contempt. And the cultural reaction after a brief dip in popularity maybe has been just to let them apologize and lay low for a bit, and then we welcome them back bigger than ever. These men get to be flawed with these deep, dark demons. They actually make them more interesting. They are held to account occasionally, maybe forced to issue a terse apology through a publicist before we all take the amnesia pill and move on and let them do it again. No one is letting Chappell Roan forget anything. By contrast, she has not beaten anyone up or hurled racial slurs on camera or thrown furniture off of rooftops. At worst, she's handling the ambient cruelty of fame poorly. She has made some tactically bad choices about when and how to express her discomfort about this, and the intensity of the moral panic around her sounds so much more decisive and grave and final than anything we have ever mustered for a man whose behavior is objectively, measurably worse in her same industry. It's so disappointing to see people who I would consider to be fairly discerning friends, other content creators, fall into yet another misogyny slop ecosystem trap. I'm hesitant to even relitigate or list out Chappell's wrongs, the same way I refuse to talk about the Blake Lively case, because people will immediately try to prove they're not being misogynistic by creating a moral issue where there isn't one or blowing something that is nothing out of proportion. Can anyone be normal? I ask myself this question every day. At some point or another, if you're engaging in this discourse heartily, you have to admit it isn't really about her skill level at fame management. It's about what we think that Chappell Roan owes us for skyrocketing her to stardom. She apparently has some sort of karmic debt to pay to all of us all the time for her success. The men get to act the damn fool, hurt people, and repeat the cycle, and we still find room in their stories for interiority and their trauma and their redemption arc. Chappell just says, I'm scared, I don't like this, don't touch me. And we have to litigate whether she even deserves to be employed anymore or not. Now, let's be very clear. I don't mean that Chappell is above criticism or that every boundary she draws is perfectly calibrated, but you have to acknowledge that the temperature of the conversation is completely unfair. And why is it unfair? Because it's a gendered conversation. What makes me sad, honestly, is that there is a much more boring and humane version of this story that never gets airtime because it's not interesting. A young artist gets famous quickly. She's overwhelmed. She's bad at some of the social skills that keep famous people safe. She's also right about a lot of the conditions that she's complaining about. She will either adjust to her new life, burn out, or find a weird third option that only makes sense in hindsight. But in the meantime, could we perhaps lay off the referendums on her soul? Culturally, we've ended up in this completely joyless place where the options are crown her as a saint for saying things other women have been forced to swallow, or drag her like she's a war criminal for not smiling through being followed. Neither of those readings leaves any room for what she actually is right now. If I have to choose between a culture that babies her into martyrdom and a culture that exiles her into being difficult, I want a third thing. Can I have a third option? I want a culture that can look at a scared 20-something-year-old who's a little bit overwhelmed, having a bad day, and say, you know what, she's not handling this well. The system around her is insane. Both of those things can be true. Neither of them requires her to be publicly stoned. And I don't care to convince you to pick a side or to come to a conclusion today, but I really do implore you to interrogate what your instinctive reaction to her antics reveals about your expectations of her. And would you expect the same thing of a man in her position? Have you? Do you find yourself more angry at her tone than at the conditions that she's describing? Are you more offended by the fact that she snapped and said, shut the fuck up to someone than by an industry that treats stalking as an occupational hazard? Of those things, which is more serious to you? If the sight of a woman being messy or imperfect in the public eye activates an impulse to morally grandstand within you, then my beloved, it's time to look inside.